America Needs Indians now evolved to a stage that was a theater group, America Needs Indians?
Yeah, Stuart Brand was involved with that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, oh, yeah, that's right. His wife was an Indian girlfriend at that time. Now evolved to a stage designated Sensorium 9 and Open Theater. Or as the handbill explained, quote, slides, movie soundtracks, flowers, food, rock and roll, eagle, lone whistle, Indians, and anthropologists. Plus revelations, new projections, the God Box, the Endless Explosion, the Congress of Wonders, the Jazz Mice, Liquid Projections, etc., and the Unexpectable. So they don't list the Kool-Aid jar. There's all this other stuff.
Also, there was a girl who got up on the stage during the event when the rock music was playing, and she took off her top and exposed her breast.
That was pretty wild, right? For
that was wild. Yeah. So it was just bedlam. You know, it was fun. A lot of people were having fun. Sandy Jacobs was there, and he was dropping eggs on a girl. He was on a stepladder with a big basket of eggs, and he was dropping them on top of her head, and they were breaking and running down her face and body.
Okay.
it was just an event, a happening. And
that's right.
And there was a trampoline with strobe lights. There was a trampoline artist that was doing all his acrobatics with strobe lights, and people were seeing things they'd never seen before.
Was Connie there with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
David wasn't there.
No, you were going to say something else.
Kent was there. Kent Chapman, and in our party it was Connie and a guy named Mitchell who lived with us, who now lives in Morocco. And there was a girl named Kathy from New York, and myself, and there was a kind of a jazz buff, Richard, can't remember his last name right now, was with us, and we all got stoned ahead of time, and then drove down to the Trips Festival. When we arrived, we were electrified,
You were stoned on LSD?
I forget what we took, but anyway, you were supposed to come, stoned,
So, right.
Yeah, that
well,
was
Well, it says here, it was Wes Wilson there. Did he make posters for it?
Yeah, Wes made a poster for it, yeah.
Okay, so this poster.
It was a fluorescent poster. We printed them. Red, bright red fluorescent poster.
Yeah, because they have in this this internet site for this, they have the typical psychedelic spiral with a sine wave in the middle.
That's what we printed that.
Okay, so now it says, it's interesting you were called contact printing because contact, that was the key concept of Gerd Stern. I think he said contact is contact. The only love or something.
Right, contact,
That's interesting. You started contact in 63, 64?
63 or 4, yeah.
Yeah, and that's when
probably he... 64. Dirk, yeah, probably 64. But I just came up... I just came upon that contact printing. That would be the contact, meant something. Contact, you printing concept is you ink gets... It's contacting the paper, from a place.
Right.
Yeah, so that was the idea.
That was your name. That you created that company with that name.
Right.
Yeah, because he was creating, Gerd in 63, 64 was creating a whole bunch of artwork around the idea of contact. So that's an interesting parallel. Okay, it says here that...
Well, these things are, together. So we live in one world.
Right. And here we are. And you Gerd Stern was born the same year as you.
Yeah.
1928.
I didn't really know him, though. I knew of him.
Right. Well, we're talking about One World. 80 years later, you're both being interviewed in the same year.
Yeah.
By us. Yeah.
Because of you.
Okay.
Because of you.
Well, here's another connection to me. It says in the next sentence, the promoters were also spreading rumors about the possible appearance of Allen Ginsberg and Marshall McLuhan. And I go on to be McLuhan's archivist. And topless dancers. Of course, that was possible.
There was a topless dancer. There was a topless dancer, yeah.
Right.
Because there was topless dancing going on in North Beach, you know, at that time.
Yes.
Now, all the nightclubs there had topless, you know.
And, that's right.
You know, Silicone was... there was a... I can't remember her name now. She was the diva of a nightclub there. It was famous in North Beach.
That's right.
Silicone implants.
Yeah, we talked about that with Gerd Stern because... Tom Wolfe writes about Marshall McLuhan experiencing that club, and a famous anecdote comes out of that in the promotion of Marshall McLuhan. But Gerd Stern set up that meeting at the topless place. Oh. So it says here, of course, those guys, that was possible, they show up. Christ knew anything was possible. In practice, the event engulfed the two shows. Both America Needs Indians and the Open Theater's Cabaret Theater were mournfully out of place in the rackety, echoing space of Longshoreman's Hall. America Needs Indians was just... Yeah.
Got lost. American Nobody even knew. Got lost.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says America Needs Indians was just a little teepee and some slides, so far as most people could tell. But there were things to do: mics, and speakers and electrical gadgets strewn around. A light show with strobe. A booth selling books on psychedelic subjects, and another selling books about insects. There were Trips Festival T-shirts for sale, and a shopping bag full of Owsley's latest LSD was making the rounds of the hall.
I don't know.
Did
about
you see that shopping? Didn't see the shopping
bag.
No,
I don't know about that.
All right, but it says, but mostly it was unparalleled chaos in a crowded hall pulsing with undirected energy. A young woman jumped on stage, stripped to the waist, and danced until Brand got her off. That was too much, I guess.
Yeah. This clinching. So, this thing about Owsley, you know, I think that the LSD came later. Owsley got involved in making it later, I think. Because maybe he was. I don't know. I don't know where Kesey was getting his. I don't know where Owsley was involved with manufacturing LSD at this time, but I don't know where Kesey got it. I mean, at that time there was LSD on the street. It was in a sugar cube. It was a blue LSD. It was blue liquid on a sugar cube. And that was the first LSD I knew about that was on the street. Then later, the Grateful Dead and Owsley were having the LSD sunshine pills, little sunshine pills, they called them. And, but I don't know the timing on this. I don't know where Kesey got his LSD. He could have got it from Sandoz, because at that time hadn't been classified by the government.
Right, but they do say Owsley's acid is here. Are you seeing the blue acid before the Trips Festival?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, in 65 then. Yeah. And so Kesey may have been using Owsley's acid for this January 66 event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, I just want to...
acid. But.
Okay, let me continue here with it. It's just a little bit more, but it's interesting because it covers a lot of the stuff we've been... Well, your life there. It says a young woman jumped up on stage, stripped to the waist, and danced until Brandt got her off. This clinched it for the Open Theater, which was supposed to go on at 10. They weren't going to attempt their nude revelations in quote, in this wild energy. They read their sermons and got about halfway through the God Box skits when it became obvious that the crowd wanted rock and roll. They quickly brought on the marbles. You remember that? They quickly brought on... Yeah, they quickly brought on the Marbles, who had recently metamorphosed into a band calling itself the Loading Zone.
Right.
You mentioned the Loading Zone earlier, I think.
Yeah.
Then it said on Saturday night the Tape Center was going on with films by the Canyon Cinema Group in something called, quote, Options and Contracts at the Present Time, unquote. The Anne Halperin Dancers, films by Bruce Bailey and Anthony Martin, and a Vortex light box were going to be the visuals. Sound would come from a synthesizer invented by Donald Buchla, which would perform on its own and also modulate the rock and roll sounds of Big Brother and the Holding Company in freakish and avant-garde ways. The acid test would follow.
That Vortex light box might have been the box that I gave Chet Helms, because I had a box that was whirling. It looked like an eye, a pupil of an eye, like changing colors. And it was whirling at high speed. And I gave that to him, and that might have been the, come to think of it, but I'm not sure.
Right, you describe the Vortex light box in your book. You talk about that, I think, in there. What's interesting is that these people write these histories, and this was written 22 years ago. It's too bad they hadn't come across you, because I think you would have thrown in, and we're hoping these interviews do that, a little bit of a different take on the chronology and the history of the whole thing, especially how you guys come out of Seattle in the 50s. So that's what we're filling in here. So it says, the acid test would follow at 10 p.m. Quote, can you die to your corpses? Can you metamorphose? Can you pass the 20th century? What is total dance? Those are questions in the acid test, I think, or in the posters or something. It doesn't say. It says, what indeed? It says, what is total dance? And it goes, what indeed? Big Brother and the Holding Company, fresh from their first gig a week before, barely had time to set up on stage before the Grateful Dead swept them off. And the acid test was fait accompli. Dancing strobes, ultraviolet lights that made day-glow paint fluoresce all the more brightly, strange things being written on the overhead projector and flashed on the wall. Anybody, in brackets, anybody who knows he is God goes up on stage, in brackets. I think that was the statement on the flashing overhead projector. Quote, anybody who knows he is God go up on stage. And these were announced over the loudspeakers. The lines to get into the hall were endless. When the hall closed at 2 a.m., there was still a line. Probably two or three whole audiences passed through the place in a single night. But the 2 o'clock close down left a lot of spectacularly wasted people out on the street with nothing to do but locate somebody's apartment or find their way down to the beach and listen to the waves until dawn. Some thought had been given to what people could do in the morning hours when they were still stoned from the night before. The festival listed some side trips. There was a worship service at the Tape Music Center at 11 a.m. with Chloe Scott, dance mistress, and Lou Harrison, composer. Those who showed up found that the room was already scheduled for a light show in the Sunday morning series Bill Hamm had been doing. Did you mention Bill Hamm? Mm-hmm.
Had
been doing there for the past couple of weeks. After confused negotiations, the two events combined, sort of. For 3 p.m., a mime dance sound show was scheduled at a downtown theater. The music, Elizabeth Harris, Pauline Oliveros, the dance, and large mime troupe cast the Bows, the psychedelic shop, 1535 Haight Street, Sunday evening's events were still being assembled when the handbills were printed. The planners tap dance around this with McLuhanism. Quote from McLuhan, since the common element of all shows is electricity, this evening will be programmed from stimuli provided by a pinball machine, and nickel in the slot starts the evening. That reminds me, what was the address of your place, your flat in San Francisco? You remember?
Yeah, well, I was on Geary. It was right on the corner of Masonic and Geary.
The Masonic Temple was near there?
No.
Okay.
No,
is that near
Sears and Roebuck? Sears and Roebuck.
Yeah, the new secret society, the industrial secret society, Sears Roebuck. Are you near that corner, Geary and Masonic? Is that near Haight Ashbury's intersection?
Haight is about 5 or 6 blocks from that.
Okay. What was that area called?
The Haight?
Well, no, where you were.
Geary? Geary Avenue. The Avenues, they called it. The Avenues.
Okay, not the Mission. The Mission is another area. Oh.
Yeah, that's where all the Hispanics lived, a lot of Hispanics.
Okay. It says on the program, the program listed filmmakers, light artists, dancers, more avant-garde music, Chinese New Year's lion dancers and drum and bugle corps, the stroboscopic trampoline, the Grateful Dead, yeah. Big Brother and the Holding Company, the Loading Zone, American East Indians, Open Theater Tape Center, the Mary Praxers, and, quote, it's prayer, mostly. They're saying prayer is the main thing featured. And it said, it turned out it was another sort of rock dance plus acid test. A film consisting of a repeated loop of Jackie Kennedy reaching for a door handle after her husband's assassination was on the screens. Kesey was writing on the overhead projector again, but Stuart Brand's partner in American Needs Indians was squabbling with him and projecting slides of architecture over Kesey's novelistic fragments. The stroboscopic trampolinist actually showed up, a champion amateur trampolinist who wore a ski mask to preserve his amateur status. He dove from the balcony onto his trampoline under a strobe light as the dead played. The crowd was so psychedelicized, nobody seemed to pay him any particular mind. So you were witnessing all three nights. You went all three nights.
Yeah. You went all three nights.
And all three nights were chaos. All three nights were chaos.
Yeah, fun. Yeah.
Fun, right. So it said the Trips Festival had decidedly been the place to go this weekend. Not counting those who got in through the back door, over 6,000 people were admitted that weekend. The festival netted $4,000, which to the promoters seemed fabulous wealth. They agreed that the acid test was more successful than the films, the theater, the ring modulator sound machine, or the slideshow. So Kesey got half the money. Bill Graham, a poor immigrant kid from the Bronx, couldn't believe his eyes. People taking a lower profit voluntarily with no muscle being applied. That's Bill Graham. He couldn't believe that. And then it said the Trips Festival also noted, quote, with approval and great interest, the participation in the festival of Look Magazine, Newsweek, Time, and Life magazines. They apparently were there. So
shortly after that,
Well, I was just going to say that.
Very shortly after that, Bill Graham did his first rock concert, and it was the Batman Robin Dance Festival, or at the Fillmore. He rented the Fillmore Auditorium. He hadn't rented it just for one night, or only on a Saturday night, and we did the poster for that, and that's how we started doing posters for Bill Graham, was that poster. And that was just shortly after the Trips Festival. He immediately saw that there was business there. Thousands of people wanted this. They wanted to repeat it over and over and over again, every weekend or more. So that's how it started. The Trips Festival was the inauguration of the dance festivals, the dance concert halls. And then shortly after that, Chet Helms opened the Avalon,
Right. Ballroom. So Stuart Brand
was
instrumental.
Chet Helms used the Fillmore, too, before Bill Graham even did that. Well, they were both using it. They were renting it. Then Bill Graham sewed it up. He got a big lease. He leased it for a year or something, or 10 years. Who knows?
Yeah, and he also saw that he could be the muscle man in the scene where everybody was wimpish and backed off and trying to share, some idealism in making profit. But he thought that would be an easy group for him to dominate.
He never took any LSD, I don't think. He was a strange man. He was a strange man.
Yeah.
Very strange.
So here you are doing the first poster for the Trips Festival, you and Wes, and then the posters for the Fillmore. You've never been interviewed for any histories of psychedelic art, have you?
No. No. A fellow who did a book on it did interview me, and he spent hours with me, and that's all been printed in some sort of a book on the poster artwork. He gives how Wes Wilson met me and how the first LSD trip and so forth. And he gives a little brief history about me and Seattle and so far. So there is something there.
Oh, that's good. So that if I look up in Wikipedia Wes Wilson, it might give in the sources at the bottom the name of the book.
Yeah.
Let's just see if that comes up. Just a second. Okay, Wes Wilson, born in 1937. No, there's not much on him. It doesn't list any books, but I could Google it and probably find, but I won't do that right now. So back to what's interesting is you guys were, if you think of this as LSD freakouts, these trips festivals, you guys were kind of doing that in Seattle at the center. You were getting together.
Right, we're doing on a mini scale, you know.
Yeah.
Small group. Yeah, we're listening to avant-garde music and Ken Nordine, his poetry.
Yeah.
And which later became, the Grateful Dead became great fans of Ken Nordine, and resurrected him in a event in San Francisco here about, I guess about 10 years ago or something. I think Ken Nordine died. Must have died by now. Anyway, yeah, we were doing all this because that's what happens when you take LSD. It's a party, you know. I mean, what Hubbard was doing was a clinical event. But I discovered when you take LSD, it doesn't matter what you listen to or what you look at or what you do, that the sense of reality is in everything, every mundane process of life. That it isn't just the belong to a religious sect or a psychological sect. This event comes out, if you look at a bonfire, you'll have a sense of what reality is. So I saw that right away. That didn't matter. You didn't need to have a special venue or a direction. It spontaneously erupted. And I think this is what Kesey was pushing all the time. The party was just as bona fide as a mass, as a high mass, just as important. There wasn't anything better, or more religious, or more psychedelic, or this. I think here's where Hubbard kind of he was too old for this kind of thing, and he was he didn't like the hippies particularly,
Yeah.
He didn't embrace that, but I saw that it was just they had their say, they had their day. Every dog has its day, as Yuji says. The hippies had their thing, and they called it, "You were doing our thing." But there was a lot of party, fun, sex, if you were on the street walking around, or you were in a mixed media group of people, the energy would get dissipated into just relating to what's going on, keeping your sanity. But if you were by yourself or in a small group of three or four people, then you had much more freedom to explore. And that was what I did see was happening at these events. People were not getting into themselves as much. They were more expanding themselves into an outer experience rather than an inner experience. But the inner experience was there too.
Right. Exactly. And McLuhan wrote a book, From Cliché to Archetype, and he talked about how tribal societies, primitive societies, would take the cliché, the daily mundane experience, and archetypalize it, find great significance. And that's what you're saying, that LSD retrieves that sensibility. Also, when you talk about the mass as a party, I mean, there are some theorists who say that, the festival, the carnival is the original religious ritual. And then you think of the Eskimos, they would really get wild with each other, you know, up there in the north. So everybody was retrieving an Eskimo sensibility.
Yeah. Everything we do is a kind of ritual. Everything we do is we've ritualized everything that we're doing. And brain physiology have discovered that ritual soothes the brain.
Mm.
And that's why people do it. So the ritual of the dance, the party, the trips festival, it's just a natural progression of another kind of religious experience. Or, you know, you can also say go to a football game and it's similar.
So it's a group, it's a relaxation of everybody's social position in some way.
Yeah.
Right. Fluidity comes in.
Yeah. In Cologne, Germany, once a year, they have a week where everybody goes mad. Bonkers. They dress up in strange costumes. Some don't wear any clothes at all. Sex is relaxed. Everybody just is foolish, and it goes way back to, you know, long before Christianity. You know, it was a pagan.
Is that why Paul Armstrong's out in Cologne?
I think so. Yeah. I like to go there because they say it's chaos. You know, but of course, you know, I experience chaos every day of my life in Mumbai. You know,
yes.
India is chaos. So that's how it
operates. Yeah, you want to go to the ritual version of chaos in Cologne.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Well, it'd be fun to do it. But here,
yeah.
I mean, I was on a rickshaw last night coming back from Bandra, which is one of the it's an area in India. It's one of the townships. And as I was going along the street, I looked over and I saw a temple. And inside the temple, there was a figure. There was the patron god of Bombay, which is Ganesh, the elephant god. And I just saw a glimpse of it, just for maybe, you know, a fraction of a few seconds, you know. And I thought, how strange, how utterly, you know, crazy this is. Here is this temple with devotees in there praying. Here I am in a rickshaw going madly down the street. Cars are going the wrong way. There's no coordination, no rules, no regulations. It's all chaos, madness. You know? But yet somehow it works. You know, I mean, I got to where I was going, and
What is Ganesh a symbol of? Yeah,
he's an elephant god. He has the head of an elephant and the body of a man. He was created by Shiva, who cut the head off of one of his sons, and his wife said, "Why did you do that? I love my son." So he grabbed an elephant and grabbed the head and put it back on the body and revived the son, and he became Ganesha. He's a patriot god. I don't know. Every year they have 20 days of Ganesha festival where everybody goes mad, and they take the images down to the sea and immerse them into the sea, and it's just a, you know, it's a symbol of renewal, you know.
Right.
Life renewed.
Okay, I looked up Wes Wilson on the internet, and there's something called Esoteric Psychedelic Posters, Original Undistributed 1960s Rarities. They're either showing them or selling them, but it says, there's a few paragraphs on Wes. It says, Wes Wilson was a young person who loved to draw, but his career as a poster designer had an unlikely start. After attending junior college in Auburn, California, he transferred to San Francisco State, where he studied philosophy. As the beatnik era was evolving into the hippie scene, Wilson was working for San Francisco printer Robert Carr, who produced handbills and programs for the San Francisco art scene. Wilson did paste-up and layout work for Carr and began designing handbills for some of the early rock shows. In January of 66, he designed the advertising flyer for the Trips Festival held at Longshoremen's Hall, a seminal event in the development of the psychedelic scene. Wilson's experience with the sights, sounds, and the LSD that was distributed at these early events was a major influence on his designs. So that's you get a little plug there in that this psychedelic posters website.
Yeah.
And it's written by Jeffrey Morseberg. Ever heard that name?
No, but the fellow who did the original interview and who did a thing on Wes, I can't think of his name right now, but he wrote quite detailed how Wes got involved with LSD and how that all, you know, through me so forth.
Yeah, they're saying that in this little superficial review, they're saying the LSD at these events influenced him. They don't go into how LSD happened before that. It ends by saying, in 1990, Wilson was the subject of a retrospective at the Springfield Art Museum titled, quote, Looking Back, Rock Posters of the 1960s by Wes Wilson. For a few years, he published Off the Wall, in quotes, Off the Wall, a popular art journal devoted to the poster image, and produced several poster expositions.
Yeah.
So this is all, you know, you're there. This is January 67. And this is going to become real, real big on a mass level a year later. But before you come back and witness that the explosion in 67, you retreat to the wilderness. You go to Europe and Krishnamurti and Rishi Valley, and you explained you got the will money, and you go. So should we continue? We'll go into that trip to Europe next session.
Yeah, when is that to be?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Same time tomorrow.
Tuesday. All right. Yeah.
Your Tuesday at 11 in the morning and our 7:30 for me and 9:30 for Scott. Yeah, Monday night for us.
Okay, great. All right.
All right. Very good. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Scott.